I'm going to talk about relationships today. I'm going to talk about probably one of the greatest examples of friendship in the Bible, Jonathan and David. When I look at that, the thing I appreciate about it is it really goes against the grain of what our culture feeds us. I was reading an article this week about an actor who lost 200 pounds. He went from 400 down to 200. And he was basically saying he just got to the place where he realized we're all longing for something in life, and what he did, he filled the emptiness with food. Now, he did good. Man, he's active. He's lost 200 pounds. God bless him. But the sad thing at the end of the article was he was saying that, it might be a spiritual need or whatever. There's just a need, and I realize I'm really not going to fill it. You see, everybody has a need, and there is no happiness. I mean, I'm talking about deep down in your soul, you're alone at night, happiness outside of Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, I wanted an SUV. I got this old Jeep Cherokee. I remember driving down the road thinking, could life get any better? Because my dream was fulfilled. But then as it got older and the bills went up, all of a sudden I'm not so satisfied anymore. Some of the most miserable people I have counseled have more material goods than I can ever imagine. Because we are created in God's image. We are created to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we don't do that, if we don't connect with Him, it's not going to work. So, 1 Samuel 18, the first five verses. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul, set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Lord, we come before you today. Let us be like Jonathan. Not clinging to position. Not looking to receive, but looking to give. He saw your hand and he embraced it and committed his life to it in an extremely sacrificial way. Lord, we're going to see how even though his father Saul went against David, Jonathan remained loyal to your man. Father, I titled this Leaving Me Behind, because I want us to be like Paul, who said, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer me who lives, but Jesus Christ lives in me. That is fulfillment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. When I look to the things of this world to please me, Lord, and I'm not saying those things are bad, but if I look to those and place them before you, I will never be happy. Lord, I pray that we would search you, seek you, and allow you to speak to us today, Lord. In your name, amen. The last song the Beatles ever recorded was called I, Me, Mine. I could sing it for you, but it ain't gonna happen. George Harrison wrote it, and the reason he wrote it was he really hated the power of ego. He hated how, pride goes in and we go our own way and we just look to please ourselves. But it's funny, because that's the last song they recorded, and shortly after that, in 69, the Beatles broke up basically because of Eagles. So a little irony there. I remember the days when I was a kid, 6:30 at night, I could turn on a guy called Walter Cronkite, and I could actually hear the news. I didn't hear a political opinion. I didn't hear rigmarole. You could hear the news. You could be a Fox person, you could be a CNN person, you could be a Newsmax person, I don't care what you are, but you gotta realize all of this stuff is tainted with a point of view. If you look at the news for any length of time, as a Christian, I think you're gonna get a little bit upset, because the world is moving farther and farther away from Jesus. I talked to so many different pastors, and they're all coming to the same conclusion, which I don't think is inaccurate. We are headed for a civil war in this country if we're not already in it. The conservative values of God versus the liberal values of the devil. And that's really what's happening. But rather than get upset, we have to roll up our sleeves and we have to let God use us. And one of the things I liked about Jonathan, one of the things that my heart is, I want to be a kingdom builder. I don't want to be a new covenant builder. Yes, this is where God has us, but I want to build the kingdom of God. And Jonathan humbled himself and embraced the direction of God when it came to David. Get freed from the deception of self-importance. I like sports. I love watching hockey. I love watching basketball, football. I even like watching baseball because my dad was a baseball player and there's a tie there. But I get so stinking tired of the egos that you see in pro sports. See, today I want to talk about selfless satisfaction. Now, I get it. Everybody has a need to be affirmed. We have a need to encourage one another. I want people to think good of me. I look at Jonathan. He was a prince. He was the son of the king. You know what that means? As the oldest son, he was next in line to be the man. He had a promising future ahead of him. He had proven himself in battle many times that he was a worthy man. He had everything going for him. Till David showed up. You know what I like about Jonathan? He didn't get jealous. We get jealous. I mean, we're honest. As Christians, sometimes it says rejoice with those who rejoice. But when you see God bless somebody, say yes, and you're inside going, how come it can't be me? I think I shared this. Forgive me if I did. I looked out my window of my house a couple weeks ago, and my good old neighbor Mike bought himself a brand new Honda Pilot. It is beautiful. Why did it have to be a color I like? I mean, if it was red or yellow or something like that, it wouldn't catch my attention. But I'm happy that he got it. See, Jonathan had a lot of reason to be jealous. That's what happens. The devil loves to distract us by making us jealous. The devil likes to distract us by, he wants to make us envious. I remember I was a young Christian, and they promoted somebody to be worship leader, and I got jealous. You don't want me to be a worship leader, hello? But why did I get jealous? I wanted that recognition. I remember when my youngest daughter was like in junior high, we had a guy like the Eastmans come in. He's praying over people and he's calling people up, and he called up like all these junior high kids, but he didn't call up my daughter. So we get in the car and I'm thinking she's going to be heartbroken. And she starts naming the different people that got prayed for and said, man, wasn't it cool what he said about this person? And wasn't it really good when he prayed this over her? And I said, Lord, I want that heart. Because when it's not me, the enemy reminds me, do you remember when you were the last one chosen for basketball? You see, God still thinks that about you. He doesn't single you out. What did the original sin with Adam and Eve have to do with? Ego. I want to be like God. I want to make the decisions. I will serve God as long as I get to live where I want to live. I get to serve God as long as my retirement has a certain amount of money in it. I get to serve God as long as I have so many hours of the week off. It doesn't work that way. Selfishness is promoted today. Self-centeredness is championed. Be who you want to be. Wrong. Be who God called you to be. You will never find happiness any other way. Now, I'm not talking about you won't experience happiness. You will. When I first owned that Jeep, I had a whole lot of happiness, but not eternally, not deep down inside where my soul was at rest. What I love about David is it says that as much as he loved himself, it says, could be translated that Jonathan loved David as much as he loved his own life. Now, if you read some wacko commentaries, they try to say there was an inappropriate relationship between David and Jonathan, and that's just stupid. Jonathan gave David his robe, armor, sword, and belt. That was a gesture of respect. We have to look at things contextually through what that culture was like. So Jonathan, who is the guy in line, goes, hey, no, you're going to be the next president, not me. I had everything going. I had the right campaign. I had the right people working for me. Then you showed up. Well, that's okay. And that's why, if you remember about a year ago, we did a bunch of teachings about unity, etc., because we are an older church that wants to get younger. And guess what? That means older people have to step aside and let the new come. The older I get, the less I want to do, and I want to teach people. I want to pour out rather than be the center of attention. This is so easy to talk about, being up here on a Sunday morning and you're all listening and you're nodding. Man, is it hard. How about when you're lonely? How about when life really sucks and you're really trying to move forward? And I'm telling you, just let God affirm you. Just let God affirm you. That's why we need fellowship. That's why you need a devotional life. That's why you need a relationship with Christ. For when it stinks, you can pray and say, Lord, I don't like life right now, but I'm going to choose to put one foot in front of the other and move forward in you. I love Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Let me confess, I can be one selfish person. But with humility, consider one another as more important than yourselves. You know what that means, guys? Give up the remote. That last piece of pizza, say no to it. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. I have ordained you all to be ministers today, right now. Boo! This is what you're going to do after church. Lord, who do you want me to talk to? Oh, I always talk to Joe. He's really comfortable to talk to. God, who do you want to touch using my life? That has to be how we look at life. Lord, how do you want to use me today? But I want to do this. No, Lord, how do you want to use me today? Because when I bend my knee to God and I ask Him to direct my steps, He gives me the grace to do what He has called me to do. So I want us to have not selfish satisfaction, but selfless satisfaction. My next point I want to make is choose your king wisely. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 4, Jonathan says to David, again, the next in line said to David, whatever you say, I will do for you. What did he do? He chose David to be his king. He chose God to direct him, to show him the path. Jesus said, unless we hate our father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even our own lives, we cannot be his disciple. Those are hard words. Those are hard words. What is he saying? Is he saying hate your mama? He's not saying that. He's saying put God first. One of the things when I, you know, Melody and I do marriage counseling, we tell people God first, spouse second, children last. Not last, but third. We taught our kids that, not bad, but we used to say, hey, you're going to leave us. She's going to be stuck with me. So we got to build this bond really good. You got to have priorities. And that's what I love about reading about Jonathan. He had a priority. He saw the writing on the wall and he didn't resist it. He embraced it. And we need to seek God to allow the challenges that come for us to move through them successfully. There's a movie out, I don't know if you heard about it, it's called Jesus Revolution. It's about Pastor Chuck Smith. Now, this old fogey church got a bunch of young hippies. But you know what the testimony of Chuck Smith's life was? That he made way for other people. That he didn't promote his own ideas, that he was willing to push other people forward, that he didn't care about getting the recognition and getting the limelight, that he was willing to step aside and bring other people into their gifting so that they could be successful, because it's there. It's God's kingdom. It's not ours. Jonathan enjoyed internal freedom because he accepted and he promoted and endorsed the leading of God. Look at Saul. His life turned tragic because he was ruled by jealousy and pride. You know, David, God used him mightily against Goliath. You know, hey, Saul had slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands, and boom, Saul was done. Why? Because he wanted top billing. Are you willing not to get top billing? Are you willing to help people move forward in God? And man, you might be an afterthought, but they get all the glory. I remember when I first started working for the church, we had this project and I really worked my tail off and I did all this stuff. And the pastor got all the recognition and not me. I remember in 1997, I'm the assistant pastor. We had hired Mike Stahl. We're having a Christmas Eve service. And, you know, we were without pastors for a while. And I was working. And a good friend of mine came up with his cheesecake. And I'm thinking, yes, I am getting recognition. And she gives it to me and goes, hey, would you give this to Pastor Mike? I wanted to shove it in her face. I said, my man hasn't been here long. How about me? Then somebody else comes up with a card. Hey, would you give this to Pastor Mike? You don't want to know the thoughts I had inside my head. They weren't from God. See, I've learned to serve Jesus, and if you don't get the recognition, you know he's saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's hard. We look around and we see people with a public ministry. We say, man, God really loves them. No, it's just different than yours. We got to be willing to be faceless for God. We have to be willing to not be noticed. But when we love the person that's down and out, that's what God's saying, man, that's what I'm calling you to do. And can you see God up there just, man, he's pleased with you because he told you to stop and speak to that person and you did it. But God, it wasn't grandiose, but it was in God's eyes. We have to be happy with that. God, his way is humility, looking to honor Jesus. The devil's way is to have us focus on ourselves, which weakens our connection with Christ. And I spoke about this earlier. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The last point I want to make is freedom. My man Bob Seger sang a song, Against the Wind. I'm older now. I'm still running against the wind. Man, you run against the wind. It's hard. You know, when my daughter and her husband first moved to Maryland, they had a hurricane pass right over them. So my son-in-law would make videos in the beginning of the hurricane, you know, like he's a weatherman from Weather Channel or whatever. Then it got stronger, and he's leaning into it. I think, wow, I'm glad I live in New York right about now. We are running against the wind of society. Jesus Christ, you tell, you know, if you go up, hey, let me talk to you about Jesus, you're a nutcase. Hey, can I talk to you about, let me be offensive, not trying to be, can I talk to you about Allah? Hey, yeah, let me hear you. What? Because he ain't God. Plain and simple. We are running against the wind, and it's, I'm telling you, there's going to be a revival. We need to pray for it, but we have to understand the days and age that we lived in. If you read the words of Christ, he said, I did not bring peace, but a sword. The more I cling to Jesus, the more I am going to struggle with relationship with unsaved people. But what I want to talk about today, when I'm talking about leaving me behind, we need to enter into relationship with unsaved people. We need to selflessly serve them. We need to not get threatened by their points of view. And we need to season our conversations with them with the truth of God. We're not called to be Christian monks living in exclusion where we're all in this little room and we're safe and sound because everybody I talk to thinks like me. I don't want to live that way. I was encouraged when I heard Chip Ingram say he struggles sharing the gospel sometimes, because I do. We all get fear of the Lord at times. I'm praying, Lord, make me stronger. I wake up in the morning, I say, God, show me who you want me to share your love with today. So the point I'm making today is, you know, the slogan, the mission statement, whatever you want to call it for New Covenant is living the love of Jesus. Don't get mad externally at these people that are deceived, but pray for them. When you look at things not going your way, pray that God moves in their life. You know, I think church ministries are good. I think programs are great. But I think what really matters is the one-on-one appointments that God gives us. That's how we're going to see the church. I personally don't see, and it could happen, which would be awesome, is all of a sudden, boom, this big firework happened and millions of people come to church. I think it's going to be one-on-one. This person, we invite people, we reach out to them. So let's take lessons from Jonathan. It's better to give than it is to receive. When we invest in somebody else, we have to understand it requires sacrifice and it will require inconvenience. I remember years ago I had a game night and I invited a bunch of people. I didn't invite this one friend because I know he hated the game I was going to play, so I didn't invite him because he wouldn't come. So then we have the game night and he tells me how hurt he was. And with my personality, I beat myself up and I felt terrible. So I bought pizzas and had another game night, invited him, and before it happened, he called me up and said, hey, I'm not coming because I don't like that game. Are you stinking kidding me? I wanted to lay hands on him and smack him upside the old head. Are you willing to be spent for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to give up time with your family? Oh, you know I got me this little grandbaby I love. God calls me to Timbuktu. I'm going to go there because I know he will provide a way for that child without me in his life. Taking a back seat can be humbling and it can be challenging. I have shared so many times that I deal with insecurity. So when I'm speaking this message, I'm speaking to myself, because when you don't get the recognition, that's when, you know, the devil whispers in your ear. But one thing that I've learned is my Jesus never, he never ignores me. When I serve him, I mean, I did something really minor this week. I can't even remember what it was. But I just knew in my heart that God was saying, good, that's what I wanted you to do. So you may never come up here and preach a message. You may never get behind here to lead worship. We might forget your name. It doesn't mean you're insignificant in God's eyes. He never leaves you or forsake you. And like I said, you might do the smallest thing. You know, you might pass somebody on the street, hey, I love you, man, I'm praying for you, something like that. God's going to say, hey, did you see that? You see, we look at the grandiose. God doesn't look at the grandiose. To obey is better than sacrifice. God is calling us. Don't be threatened by this world. Saul was threatened by the presence of David. Jonathan embraced it. Saul's life turned horrible, and Jonathan's life, man, he had freedom because he knew it wasn't about him. I love that old quote, the graveyard is full of irreplaceable people. I like the Beatles, but you know what? When they quit, rock and roll didn't die. Unfortunately, we did go through the disco era, but we try to forget about that. Try to rejoice when other people are lifted up. Remember Peter? Jesus is talking to him, and you know Peter, he's a knucklehead. He looks at John and goes, hey, what about him? Jesus says, who cares? How about you? I don't want you looking at him because he has his own call. I'm speaking to you. Now, I'll tell you what happens to me, because I can be a victim. Something really tragic happens. Man, I'm lower than a dog. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. Guess I'll go eat worms. I'm thinking, man, ain't nobody go through what I go through. And that is straight from the pits of hell. See, Jonathan kept a relationship with his dad, but he was loyal to David first. That's what we have to do. We have to be willing to be second or third or even fourth, and that's okay. I am tired of living in this world. Like I've shared so many times, I get tired of watching the stinking NFL. A guy catches a football, which he has paid millions of dollars to do, and he acts like he's the greatest thing in the world. No, fool, you just did what they paid you to do. If you don't catch the ball, your butt's going to be watching him in the spectators. You know, could you see Noah up here and Kaylee leading worship? If all of a sudden he takes his guitar and he slams it and goes, yes! It wasn't about them today. It was about Jesus Christ. It was about them seeing a need and them saying yes. Will you do that? You may not be up here. You may not be up here. That's okay. God is saying, if you're willing to be second, I'm going to bless you. There is never internal peace when you have to be first. I got to leave me behind, and it's a struggle. Like I said, you got to realize when we're up here giving messages, it's not because we have it accomplished, but it's because God wants us to share this. I'm ministering to myself, so Lord, we're coming before you right now. I love the example of Jonathan and David. Jonathan gave up everything, the glamour, the Instagram posts, the cover of Rolling Stone. He willingly laid it aside because he saw your hand on David. Your word tells us that he considered David's life as his own. And I thank you for that, Lord. I pray that we would be like that, Lord. People need to see the love of Jesus flowing through our lives. It does not mean compromise, but it means we speak when you ask us to speak. It means that we endure ungodly lifestyles so that we can speak to that deceived person. Lord, you know I'm not saying it's okay to live an ungodly lifestyle. What I'm saying is you will place us into the lives of unbelievers by a divine appointment so that if we look to you and speak your truth, we can plant seeds for you, Lord Jesus. Father, help us to leave me behind. Help us to stop falling victim to making life about us, that I need to be happy, I need this, I need that. Lord, I think the most humbling joy a person can experience is when they obey you and they watch you move through their life, Lord God. I thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I thank you for this group of people, Father. And I pray, Lord, that this week, everybody in this room and everybody listening at home, that you would show us that one person that you want us to say, hey, anybody ever tell you how much Jesus loves you? Anybody explain that to you? Because, man, I'd really love to. Oh, Lord, I know what's going to happen. When we get in that situation, our hearts might beat a little faster. Our knees might knock a little bit. Let us not be ruled by fear. Let us just turn to you. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And you call us to do that. You equip us with your grace. Lord, I thank you for worship today. I thank you that you love us so much. Bless these people in your name. Amen. God bless.